What a week it's been in football these past 7 days. We had Philippe Coutinho's massive transfer from Liverpool to Barcelona for no less than £142 million.
Some fee, isn't it? We'll also be speaking today about Arsene Wenger and Arsenal after a humiliating FA Cup defeat to Nottingham Forest and a three-match touchline ban. Is it time that Arsenal start thinking about a new manager?
Alvaro Morata, Chelsea paid £60 million for him. Is he the player they paid for? As of late, his form hasn't been good enough. We'll be touching on all these subjects and more. I'm Lee.
And I'm Adam.
And this is the Greasy Spoon Debate.
Start talking.
Welcome to the top football podcast in Northern Ireland, perhaps even the best, we said so ourselves. We're going to start with Philippe Coutinho. He recently signed for £142 million from Liverpool to Barcelona. Do you think he's worth that fee to start off with, Adam?
Brings a lot of assists and goals to the team.
I'm seeing there so far this season he's got 7 goals and 5 assists in the PL alone.
Yeah, I mean, he's creative.
He's definitely
an attacking player, and he does kind of create chances for your strikers.
Yeah. We've said the past 2 weeks in a row now that Liverpool up front are incredible, and we're never done praising them, with good reason. I think Coutinho leaving will be a huge knock for that. Alright, you've still got Firmino, Mane and Salah, and they're as creative as you can get.
Yeah,
but Coutinho, for a long time, was the poster boy of that team. Last season, he was their best player by a huge, huge, huge mile.
Sure. Why do you think he wanted to go to Barca anyway in the first place? Because he knew he was good enough for Barcelona.
I'm not entirely sure why he left, to be honest. I would have thought he was the sort of player who would have liked being the main boy of Liverpool.
I don't know. I think kind of Hispanic-y kind of players are always...
Yeah,
their dream is always Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Hispanic-y.
Hispanic-y. I'm not sure that's definitely not a word, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, let's make it one now.
But I like Hispanic-y. Yeah.
Hispanic-y. Yeah. I mean,
it's true though. Hispanic-y players.
Yep.
Kind of double quote.
If the people from Oxford Dictionary are listening, please take note. This is an important new discovery you've made. Yeah, they do seem to like those kind of teams a lot. This is true.
Yeah, it's their dream. It's simple as that. So there's no reason why he wouldn't have wanted to go. And especially, surely, if anything, he's done Liverpool no harm anyway, staying around for 6 more months. You know, six half a year.
Yeah.
And he's probably got them Champions League football next season, or helped anyway.
Yeah.
Go on.
He was meant to leave in the summer, and I think it was $70 million he was going to go for.
Yeah.
But obviously, Liverpool managed to keep him a bit longer. And what they did, clearly, is jack up the price by
a double,
yeah.
But at the same time, you would say the average transfer price has gone up almost by double since.
Business by Liverpool.
If anything, second the Neymar transfer happened, and the hasn't actually happened yet, but the Mbappe one, which is going to be like $192 million or something as well.
Who's he going to?
PSG. He hasn't signed yet.
Oh, right,
He's there on loan until the summertime, and then they can choose to buy...
That's right.
I think it was to do with financial fair play or whatever. They couldn't lash out $200 million twice in one summer without people going.
They found a pretty decent loophole around that, didn't they? Or through that? Yeah, I don't follow French football, unfortunately. I think that I'd rather watch Northern Irish football. Not to knock Northern Irish football at all, but it is a load of shite.
Yeah.
French football, as far as I'm concerned, is an inferior league to every other one that I can think of.
It's the worst big league, isn't it? It's the worst kind of say.
I think so.
They always say like there's like what 5 or 6 big leagues in Europe.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
England, Spain, Germany, France, Italy.
Portugal's pretty good, isn't it?
Hit or miss. And Netherlands as well. Sometimes. Really depends how good teams like Ajax are and that kind of thing. Yeah. But what were you saying?
I was going to say Liverpool at the moment. They're fourth in the league. They're 2 points behind Chelsea. They're 3 points clear of Spurs. He hasn't, as you say, he hasn't done them any huge damage in leaving.
Hmm.
But, you know, they're not in a position where they're completely safe. Obviously, being halfway through the season, you can't be anyway.
No,
I couldn't. I would have said if Coutinho stayed, Liverpool would have bagged fourth place, no problem.
Yeah.
I don't think that's likely enough, to be honest.
Likely? You don't think it's likely?
Don't think it's likely. I think Spurs will get it. Harry Kane, he'll make a difference for them. Liverpool without Coutinho is not as strong as Spurs with Harry Kane, in my opinion. No matter how good Salah is.
You're right. What about Arsenal then as well? We'll talk about that later on the show.
Talk about Arsenal later on the show, of course.
But for top four though?
No, I think the top four will be City. United, Chelsea, Spurs at this point. But before the Coutinho transfer, I would have thought it was Liverpool.
There's still, like, what day is it today? It's the 11th of January.
Yeah.
There's still
three... At this time of recording.
there's still 3 weeks left of the January transfer window.
Of course, yeah.
Liverpool now have buckets full of cash to spend.
Yeah.
Would they not just go out and say, right, this is it, we're going to fucking buy Mahrez. Mm-hmm. We're going to buy this, we're going to buy that. I know they've already spent 75 and Virgil van Dijk.
Yep.
But he's a centre-back, obviously. Why won't they go out and spend 100 million on two attackers now?
Yeah. I don't think they've actually paid the 70 million to Southampton, I heard. They're paying Southampton in like three different installments. They've only given Southampton like 20 million already.
Really?
Yeah, so Southampton haven't really gotten a nice end of the stick.
I was going to say 75 did sound like a lot up front for someone, a Southampton player. Mm. You'd pay that much really for someone who's proven at the top level, wouldn't you?
Well, he's a fantastic Southampton player. Yeah, he proved that against Everton.
True.
That was a hell of a goal. Like, he rose like a Rolls Royce, according to
Script was written, wasn't it, really?
It was, yeah, yeah. And Everton don't look that good right now, obviously. And I think that Ross Barkley even won't help that. True. But I think that whenever you look at Coutinho's record with Liverpool in general, he's played for them 152 times, 152 appearances in total, and he's scored 41 goals. Mm. That's all right. Maybe it's not as high as Hazard, or maybe who else would you have up there? Even Salah at this point. Obviously not as high as Harry Kane.
No.
And I don't think he's worth that huge price tag, but that's mostly down to, again, Liverpool doing some fantastic business.
So how many goals did he score this season?
He scored seven in the Premier League and 15 in all competitions.
Seven goals for 142 million is it's a lot of money per goal, isn't it?
But wasn't injured for a while at the start of the season?
Four or five matches, but look.
Yeah.
Pogba. People always say Pogba was overvalued at 89. Mm-hmm. Pogba's got 11 goals and 8 assists this season.
Yeah. And he was injured for quite a lot.
He's missed at least 8 or 9 games this season. Mm-hmm. Are you saying now that Coutinho is 60 million better than Pogba?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
Mm. No. Or as you were saying on Twitter the other day, that you're... But your inflation obviously comes into effect there.
That's right. Yeah.
Of course.
Point that out to some Arsenal fan.
You have to point these things out to Arsenal fans. They aren't the most intelligent bunch.
You're right.
But, yeah, yeah.
They support Arsenal for a reason, don't they?
They support Arsenal for a reason. They wouldn't know a good midfielder if they married their mum. Now, 25 years old, that obviously ties into it. Younger players go for a higher value. And I think players between 25 and 27 are in their peak.
Yeah.
They know as much as you're going to know about the game, and they've still got as much pace and they've still got as much intelligence as a younger player.
Yep.
I think that whenever you take the inflation, things like that, into consideration, I reckon that in about 2 or 3 years' time, we'll be thinking about transfers like the Coutinho one and like the Pogba one and the Neymar one, and we'll be looking back on that in the way that we look back upon the Zidane transfer, whenever that was the one that smashed the record back then. Back then, 50 billion was huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now we're looking at 142 million.
Which is insane, and that's not even the biggest of all time. Mm-hmm. It's 80 million less than the Neymar one last summer.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting thing to touch on as well. With the huge price tags that have came on to players now, has football became just a playground for rich people?
Yes. Unfortunately, it really has become a rich man's game.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't before, but it's become, like, instead of, you know, the local millionaire, it has. It's become a game of global billionaires kind of fighting it out on a pitch.
Yeah.
And it is a lot more money-focused these days. Like, there's not as many kind of, like, you know, unsung heroes coming through the ranks, mm-hmm. youth ranks, to kind of, you know, make it for a big team and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen quite as much anymore.
It's more of a problem in England, I think.
It is.
You'll have your continental fans that'll point out the fact that Barcelona and Bayern Munich are fan-owned.
Yes.
At least a majority share, isn't that how it works? I don't think Bayern Munich is completely owned by fans.
They have a fan club anyway.
But Barcelona is. Barcelona is completely owned by
Barcelona... The club, Barcelona, sees themselves as like a country, basically, the way they are.
And don't they elect the person that runs the club?
I think that's right, yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's like, was it Cruce Inn on Club or something like that? It's like more than a club.
I think whenever or if Catalonia leaves Spain, they should just make the president of Barcelona the president of the country.
May as well, like Messi, like the
have one fewer election every year. That'd be a great idea.
Messi might as well be the head of state.
Imagine that.
Might as well be
Messi shaking hands with the Ayatollah or something. Exactly. Imagine that.
He might bring along world peace. You never know.
He could share tax dodging break or tax dodging tips with the Ayatollah of Iran. That'd be amazing.
Sure, they're all over up to that in Spain anyway.
Yeah. Now, I also want to touch on the huge amount of profit that Liverpool have made off of Coutinho. They only signed him for... Do you know how much they signed him for?
It was very little, wasn't it? He was 10
million.
Yeah. 10 million?
8.5.
Is that all it was?
That's all it was.
To be fair, though, he was 20. And they were taking a chance because it actually hadn't quite worked out for him at Inter Milan. Yeah. I mean, they were saying that he wasn't quite hitting the peaks at Milan, and they were ready to sell him. And
they had loaned him out to Espanyol as well, whenever he was at Inter Milan. So they were trying to obviously give him some experience, but they sold him for a nice fee. The Liverpool made 133 million in the back of the guy.
That's incredible.
So they're the real geniuses.
Would you say Brendan Rodgers then has a lot to do with his development and all that kind of stuff and make him a better player? Obviously, Brendan Rodgers must have seen some talent when he was...
Absolutely. Brendan Rodgers, I mean, that guy, I think he's a fantastic manager. I rate him as one of the best in the United Kingdom. Well, obviously, he's doing so well at Celtic. I think with that last season he had at Liverpool, he became a bit of a laughing stock in England. I think he'll come back again. I think he'll manage a big team. I could see Brendan Rodgers managing Chelsea, and I think he would do a great job there.
Yeah. Did he not work for Chelsea at some point? He used to work for Mourinho, didn't he?
He was the youth coach for Chelsea.
During Mourinho's era,
yeah, that's right.
Because he's another one of these coaches who've kind of developed from the Mourinho kind of background staff have come out as managers. Same as the... what was the manager last year? Not even last year. Managed Swansea. He was a Mourinho.
I'm not sure.
Paul Clement was he a Mourinho guy?
I don't know about him now. Was he?
But anyway, the point I'm making is there's a few guys who are
Andre Villa-Boas,
Karanka, the Middlesbrough manager. That's who it is.
Okay.
He used to work under Mourinho. So it's a lot of the kind of ex-Mourinho managers are coming out now.
Well, you have the fact that Mourinho used to be Bobby Robinson's translator. Things like that.
That's right. Him and Pep were at the same club.
Yeah, him and Pep were at the same club.
And
Luis Enrique. Yeah. And there was somebody else, Pep Guardiola.
That's right.
They were all at the same club at one stage.
That was also Louis van Gaal.
Yeah, that's right. Louis van Gaal was there. Yeah, he was managing Barcelona, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But that was after Bobby Robson left. But
I think Mourinho was still there. And if anything, apparently Mourinho said he could actually base his coaching on LVG and Bobby Robson.
It shows.
Yeah.
It does show. He's basically a child of the pair of them. I also think the fact that he's cup-tied really should have taken down from the price that he sold for. He can't play against Chelsea in February.
Yeah, I think they're thinking more of the future, though, aren't they? They're thinking more about next season, really,
of course,
as much as anything.
Yeah, but
I'm probably trying to solidify
great word.
Their position in the La Liga, where they're 10, 11 points clear of Real Madrid.
Salah.
I'm getting sick of listening about them.
Money, money.
I'll just edit later.
What Porto for me, no? And we sold Coutinho.
Introducing our brand new segment. This is going to be called Adam and Lee's favourite thing this week. And this week it is Richie Sheehy's song, which you'll hear in the background there. About Mane, Firmino, Coutinho, Salah. It's utterly brilliant. He's so funny. He's Cork's biggest Liverpool fan, you know what?
There's nothing I like more than a Cork Liverpool fan as well. It's my favourite thing in the whole world.
I've never met one, actually.
Have you not?
He's the first one, yeah. Well, he's the biggest one. They had an election down there and he won, fair and square. So biggest one.
They don't normally like football down in Cork.
They don't normally know.
They're into the
Gaelic. No, they're too busy fucking their sisters. So we're moving on to Arsene Wenger. He's going to be our next big topic this evening. He's managed Arsenal for 22 years since 1996. He won his first title in 1998, his second season with the club. Is it time to move on? He hasn't been doing so well recently.
Still won a few FA Cups in the last few years. Any kind of redeeming value from the last decade.
I heard he's the FA Cup's most successful manager.
But is the FA Cup meaning? Does it mean that much anymore, the FA Cup?
At this stage for Arsenal, it should be, yeah. at the stage they're at.
At Arsenal's level.
At their level.
That's exactly what you're saying, really, isn't
it? That's what I'm saying. Not to say that clubs necessarily have levels in England, but if one of them were to be lower than the rest, it would be Arsenal, yeah. But 7 FA Cup wins isn't to be sniffed at, isn't to be scowled at, isn't to be shaking your sticks at, if you want to shake sticks at things.
At the same time, though, I mean, he's looking at literally missing out in the top four 2 years in a row.
Yeah. First time ever, isn't it?
What?
That's the first time he's ever missed out in the top four in 2 years in a row.
The only first, sure, last year was the first time he ever missed out in the top four.
Is that right? I thought he'd done it once before. Well, silly me.
I think maybe the very, very first season he took over Arsenal, maybe they didn't get top four, but okay. Top four wasn't a thing back then anyway. It was like top two or three back then, got Champions League. No, I think it's the first time in at least 15 years anyway, let's put it that way, that Arsenal are going to be outside the top four. Mm-hmm. For 2 years in a row. Well, that's poor. That is very poor, let's be honest. Like,
and whenever you were watching the match against Nottingham Forest, yeah, they Arsenal didn't look like a team that could win anything.
Not really, no. They were played by championship opposition, really.
Yeah.
In every position. Now, to be fair, this is another thing I don't understand. Arsenal likely have two trophies they can win this year, maybe three. None of them are big trophies. Mm. Why would he not go and play his best team at Nottingham Forest? If the FA Cup means that much, they're defending champions, and he goes and plays what was essentially a B team.
He made 7 changes for that match.
Yeah, I mean, what was he thinking?
I'm not sure. Well,
was he thinking, I'm saving myself for the semi-final of the Carabao Cup?
Yeah,
but then again, yesterday it was a full team, was it? Or was it?
Yeah, it was a full team yesterday.
Minus Sanchez and Ozil.
Yeah, it was a full team. Mind you, whenever Elneny came on, he was the best player on the pitch. I felt. Bar Wilshere. Wilshere played quite well. Mm. He put a good shift in.
The match last night bored me to tears.
It bored me to tears.
You don't need a prescription for Nightall if you can watch Arsenal Chelsea from last night. Yeah. Seriously good medication.
If you can watch Chelsea lately, the game Chelsea played against Norwich as well was so unbelievably boring. There wasn't a single shot on target in the first half. It was just so bad. But Arsenal last night defended really well. That's one thing that I think Nisi pointed out. Not a single Chelsea attack looked potent enough. Chelsea's tactics were basically get it to Hazard and hope for the best, cross your fingers.
Yeah, I mean,
and Arsenal broke it down every time.
I guess after conceding 4 away to a championship team, it's probably a good thing to kind of shore up the defence and say, right, at the very least tonight, don't let anything in. Mm-hmm. We may not score, but we'll take it back to the Emirates. I almost said Highbury there.
Which is impressive. Which is impressive because he played his second keeper as well. He played Ospina instead of Cech.
That's right.
But I think that's a cup thing, maybe.
Every team does that now, though. They always give the second keeper, you know, a purpose in life, basically.
Did Manchester United play a second keeper?
Yeah, we played Romero.
Oh, but you were playing against Derby, weren't you?
Yeah, but I reckon even if we go all the way to the final, Romero will play every match.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, same with the Europa League last year, sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the League Cup last year, I'm pretty sure Romero played both of them.
Okay.
Which is really funny. The two trophies we won, we played a backup keeper in.
That's incredible, yeah. That's right. Wasn't it Paul Merson who rated David De Gea the best keeper in England? Why? Because he won two trophies.
He didn't actually win them.
Yeah, but he didn't win it. He didn't win them at all. Oh, dear. I think it was Paul Merson. I could be wrong. But
wouldn't surprise me if Paul Merson, like, he's probably the worst pundit there is in TV.
That's why I go with him. If there's ever a pundit who made a mistake and you can't remember who it is, just guess it was Paul Merson. You're normally right. However, he's also an Arsenal legend.
Came through the Wenger
managerial era.
I think it's before Wenger.
And he retired. He retired. In 2003 or something.
I remember Paul Merson playing for Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Bringing them up with Harry Redknapp and everything. That's probably 2004 or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, enough about Paul Merson.
Let's get back to Arsenal. Welcome to the Paul Merson show.
Yeah, anyway, Arsenal.
Oh, Paul Merson. 3 Premier League wins as well for Arsene Wenger. That's more than most managers ever hope to win.
It is, but it's such a long time ago. You should start to say, does it actually count anymore, really? Like, can you really say, oh, wonderful, I won the league in 2004, 2005 was the last season they won.
2004.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
the Invincibles.
It's 14 years ago. That's football.
Yeah.
That's in any other, you know, walk of life. That's, you're talking 100 years 14 years of football is like 100 years anywhere else.
Yeah, well...
They're like dog years in a way. The opposite of dog years, I guess.
Yeah. I thought... that Invincibles team, you can't talk about them enough because they were so friggin' good. I used to have nightmares about how good Thierry Henry was and how good Patrick Vieira was and how good Robert Perez was and Ljungberg was. Mm-hmm. They were just such a fantastic team.
All over the pitch. All over the pitch. They were invincible, basically. That's where the name comes from, I guess.
Yeah.
They even had at the back Sol Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I seen the end of Lehman sitting in the stand yesterday, dude.
Yeah, I think he's goalkeeper manager.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the goalkeeper manager.
He was a nut job. Costing the Champions League final that year, do you remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Barcelona, they were winning 1-0 15 minutes ago. Wenger almost won the Champions League. In a different alternative reality somewhere, Arsenal have a Champions League win.
Like, I don't want to live there. But it was after that season after that season they lost to Barcelona, it all started to go wrong because I think Vieira left that season.
Vieira went to Juventus. I think Vieira had already left because, I'll tell you why, a young Cesc Fabregas was breaking through the Arsenal team. And Arsenal actually knocked out Juventus, where Vieira had moved to.
Right, okay.
And Fabregas played Vieira off the pitch.
Right, okay. Well, there we go.
And they also knocked out Real Madrid.
Yeah. Fabregas, back when he was pacier, was a player to be reckoned with. I think he's playing his best football now, but when he was pacier, he was more of a typical centre midfielder.
Yeah, box to box a lot more, kind of run around the pitch a lot more.
Mm-hmm. He's really more Andre Pirlo. He's kind of a clone of Andre Pirlo.
That's fair enough when you're getting to about 30 now, is he?
Yeah, he's 30. That's on the button. Again, as well, he won his first Premier League in 1998. That was the year that people have been talking about a lot recently, because that was the year that Manchester United were clear by 13 points in, I believe it was March, and they still managed to throw it out because of injury.
Yeah,
which isn't to be scoffed at because it can happen at any team.
I remember that.
And then Arsenal managed to win the league.
That was the very first season that I was really a football fan.
Yeah. How many points did they win by?
It was neck and neck. I think it was 1 or 2 points on the last day of the season to Arsenal. I think Roy Keane got injured for United. And it was literally the season after Cantona had left.
Yeah.
So United were in like a little bit of a dip. If anything, it might have been Cantona's last season maybe, and he was injured for the last half. I can't remember, it was seven. But anyway, Arsenal did pip United the title that year, and everyone sat up and went, whoa, Arsenal are a proper team now. Nicholas Anelka and all that kind of stuff were on that team. Yeah, it was a good team back then.
And it was a hell of a team. And then I remember that around that time was never the Manchester United Arsenal rivalry. There were red cards. It was almost something you wouldn't even bet on it because it was a cert. The odds would have been terrible.
It back then was the way United City is now, basically. It was the big fixture in the Premier League.
Only now the Premier League's conflated itself a bit more. There are more teams that want to win. But not Spurs.
But in terms of people getting violent and all that kind of stuff, like Pizzagate and all that kind of thing, I was there that day.
You were there
at Old Trafford the day Fabregas for the pizza at Alex Ferguson.
Did you
and
see
the end of the 50 match and beat and run and all that kind of stuff? It was unbelievable. Best day of my life.
Oh God, that's funny. What do you think? Do you think it's time for them to change?
I think so. Yeah, I think Piers Morgan would be. Definitely agree in any way that Arsene Wenger's had his time, I think, and it's time someone else kind of got.
I think it was time for Cody Foster. Who is there? I heard that Ancelotti was in the mix to take over Arsenal. All right, he's a very good manager, but has he got the players?
I'm not sure.
If it happens.
I'm not sure he's the right manager for Arsenal.
No?
I think Arsenal needs someone younger.
Like who?
I don't know.
I heard them talking about Allegri.
Could be,
yeah.
What type of football does he play? I'm imagining Arsenal are going to hire a manager who plays kind of walking in football.
Well, did you watch the Champions League final last year?
Yeah.
Well, he was Juventus' manager.
Yeah, they play quite attacking.
They play quite well. They have to against Real Madrid. You've got no choice. Yeah. I don't watch Serie A week in, week out, unfortunately. But
I've seen enough of Juventus in the Champions League and stuff, though. I don't know how they play. Like, they are quite... for an Italian team, they're attacking enough, actually.
They're quite impressive, I think, yeah. And as well, with Pogba leaving, you'd think that maybe they would take a dip.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But what about it? And speaking about Arsenal fan TV, which is another thing you can bring up, because they really want Arsene Wenger gone badly. They want him gone so bad, they can't even hold their breath. Yeah. And with our last segment there, Lee and Adam's favourite things,
yeah,
we had a runner-up this week. which was the gentleman that Robbie was interviewing on Arsenal Fan TV. And what was it he said?
He said it was bloody dreadful, or it was fucking dreadful, and I'm fucking blind.
I'm so glad I'm blind enough to watch that.
That was fucking dreadful.
That was the runner-up for Leonardo's favourite thing this week, because it was so funny. Everyone, you just saw the crowd behind the guy, sort of trying to hold back their laughter.
Yeah, blood.
Fam, blood.
Arsenal Fan TV is always a... The thing is, it's so put on Arsenal Fan TV, isn't it? But
do you think so?
Do you think your man Troops is overdoing it every week?
Oh, he is, definitely.
Like, yeah. I seen one time they have a counter. Mm-hmm. How many bloods and fams, like, who wins every one? Like, it was like 75 bloods to 71 fams this or last week or whatever. Like,
you couldn't write that shit. I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's inhumane to say blood and fam that many times in a sentence.
I would kill.
Criminal offence.
I would kill to see Arsene Wenger go on television and do that.
Did you see the video?
What?
Of all the Arsenal Fan TV lads. Like, basically, Arsene Wenger's drive by in a car.
Yeah.
And they get a glimpse of Wenger and he says something to him. They're all like shit their pants. Like, oh my God, Wenger, oh my God. Like, right. So every week you're on here going, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. The second you see him, you're literally like, you know, getting your knees.
No, at that point he isn't the man who destroyed our team. At that point, he's the guy that won you three league titles.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, it'd be like in...
It shows you're just trying to sell advertising, really.
Basically, yeah. That's it. Yeah. What's that film with Garth? Wayne's World,
yeah.
It would be like if Alice Cooper hadn't had a good hit in 15 years and all they've done is say, like, Alice Cooper's passed it. And they see him and they still go, we're not worthy. But you're still shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then behind his back, he hit him, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, I would love to see Arsene Wenger go on Sky Sports someday after in a post-match interview. And they ask him, well, Arsene, how do you feel you got on today? See, you see blood, the feminine, feel at the
end. I'd pay to see that. That's box office there.
See that, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
But I'd pay a tenner to see that.
Plus admission. I felt that, now it needs to be pointed out as well, that the referees haven't been kind to Arsenal the past few games. The past three penalties that have been given against them, or was it four? Say three or four, I can't remember, that really were shaky, especially Eden Hazard one last week in the league. Mm. That was never a penalty. The guy definitely jumped. Mm. And the fact that it wasn't given, or sorry, the fact it was given, just plays right into Arsene Wenger's wheelhouse.
That's right.
Where he's saying that referees are basically City fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels that way to me anyway.
Do you think Alexis will go to City?
Well, we're just reading there about United as well now coming in. But
I doubt it though.
To me it screams that Arsenal have put the kind of some sort of like message out that United are interested to kind of up the transfer value.
Mm.
So like, they get a little bit more money out of City now. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't got that much options. That's another poor thing Arsenal do. They let players get down to their final season of their contract.
Yeah.
And then they go for free. Or they go for nothing. The last time this happened, they lost Van Persie to Man United.
Yeah.
22 million or something. Van Persie, like.
Mm.
He'd been the Golden Boot winner for 2 years in a row. Player of the Year 2 years in a row. And they lost him for 20 million.
He was their captain at that point, wasn't he?
He was their captain. And then what happens? He goes off, scores another 20-something goals, wins the league for United.
Mm. It seems to be a problem with Arsenal. A lot of the players who go and become captain leave.
Yeah.
Vieira was the first to do it, then Henri, then Fabregas, Van Persie.
Yeah.
It seems to be a thing that just happens.
Adebayor, Man City. Adebayor. Man City have like basically ransacked Arsenal for the last 10 years straight, haven't they? Like,
they have.
Arsenal are like the Man City training wheels, basically, as they are.
Arsenal are to City what Southampton are to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what Liverpool are to Barcelona.
What are Liverpool to Barcelona? God, well, not even that. Spurs as well for Real Madrid.
That's
there's
true.
Another, there's
That's
another point to be made, I suppose.
Or Everton and Man United. Everton are like... Man United buy all Everton's best players, and Man United give Everton all their rubbish. I'm not messing.
That was the second runner-up to our favourite thing this week, was Wayne Rooney's tweet this week, where he tweeted to Piers Morgan, I know how to spell Arsenal, but I prefer to say Arsenal.
That was in 2012.
Oh, was it?
That was a retweet from 2012, but it's so hilarious.
Even still,
given the context of the moment.
It was more relevant now than ever.
But if anything, it's funnier, because Wayne Rooney in 2012 saying that,
Yeah.
It's a lot funnier than the 2017 kind of slightly washed up Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Still, he's so funny. His Twitter is hysterical. I remember his very first tweet as well. Hey Rio, do you want to lift into training tomorrow, bro, or something?
Pal. Do you need picking up in the morning, pal? That's what it is. You know, as if like he thought like posting that publicly in Twitter would go down well. Like, what's he like?
He must have thought it was a private
sometimes
message.
Like, oh, did all Wayne Rooney's brain cells land his feet?
Possibly. I always rated him. I thought he was a fantastic player.
I love the man, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And he's still doing well for Everton. Well, the way he didn't play well for against United.
Oh, you're shocking that match.
Yeah, I thought he was all right, but you proved me wrong last week.
He gave away the ball for the first goal. Mm. It's an all right performance. Like, didn't do anything in the match really, but. How do we get on to Wayne Rooney again?
We were talking about Arsenal, then we were talking about Arsenal, and then we decided that Wayne Rooney should be the star of the show. Welcome to the Wayne Rooney Show.
That's right. It was part two of the...
The Wayne Rooney...
So let's just sum it up then. Arsene Wenger.
Sack him in the morning. I would sack him in the morning.
But do you not think there'll be another season then for Arsenal fans with Wenger?
The likelihood is he'll manage until he dies, but if Arsenal's board were paying attention
to what
output rather than currency, they would have sacked him years ago.
Even when he dies, they'll still have some octopus or something pointing at different parts of Wenger to kind of like mysteriously kind of choose the kind of winning team for this week or something. You like remember Paul the octopus from the World Cup?
Yeah.
They'll have like the Arsenal octopus, and it'll like be pointing at Wenger, and they'll be going, oh, Wenger says it's his team this week.
Can I just point out to any listeners there, you didn't see it, but Adam was doing an incredible impression of an octopus with his arms.
Yeah, it was two-armed octopus here.
Waving his arms around. This is what an octopus does, but with more arms.
Yeah, visual descriptions here by Lee Grogan.
Alvaro Morata. I'm not happy. I'm not a happy boy. For those who don't know, I'm a Chelsea fan. And Alvaro Morata isn't pleasing me right now. I watched him last night against Arsenal, and I was wondering how on God's green earth that guy is worth 60 million. He was great the first half of the season, and all of a sudden he's gone and forgotten how to finish a ball, how to put the ball into the back of the net, which is all you pay the fucking man for, you know?
Exactly.
It was horrible to watch. And against Norwich as well. Against friggin' Norwich, the guy could barely even...
I missed some sitters last week against Arsenal too.
Guy.
I'm just glad that he didn't sign. I'm glad he didn't sign for United now, if I'm honest.
He should have had a hat-trick against Arsenal last week.
Yeah. That one, he's 1-1 with the keeper and he hit it wide. Mm. He didn't even hit it on target. He actually hit it like 3 or 4 yards to the right of the goal.
It was a... Yeah, that was one where he came in off the left wing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's right.
You can see his movement and all that is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And his heading's great.
Mm-hmm. His hold-up play is better than Costa's was.
Yeah, yeah.
But his finishing isn't
Costa was more ruthless.
Costa was a better player. If I can be honest, Morata... the best word I can use to describe Morata is a girl's blouse. His confidence is high, he does really well. He scored a hat-trick against Stoke. He scored that blinder against Man United. When his confidence is high, he's fantastic. But then whenever the critics start to say bad things about him, like I am now and like we are now, he all of a sudden seems to lose everything beneath his feet. The rugs pull out from underneath him and he forgets how to play properly. Mm. Even whenever the balls come in from Spilicueta now, he doesn't look half as good coming on the end of it. He isn't able to find the space like before.
Is it as much to do with the fact that he's so young?
Well, he'd be 24.
24.
So he should really be figuring his shit out right now. Mm. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like I can be more lenient with him because of how well he truly has played for most of the season.
Yeah.
It's the past 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is too long again. I'm in two minds. That's the real problem. I'm in two minds about the guy.
We should not give him to the end of the season anyway. You're practically. I can't see Chelsea finishing below third.
I don't see it happening either. I like I said in the first segment as well, I can't see Liverpool being the team that do Chelsea in. Possibly Spurs do.
Mm.
But if Morata figures it out, it's okay. If he could figure out his one-on-one,
then? Who do you get to replace him?
Who do we get to replace him? Can I have Costa back? Is that an option?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
What I mean is, who do you get the same age as Morata, same kind of reputation? He had a good reputation coming to England.
He did, yeah. He did. Well, we'll go over his record with Real Madrid. Last season, he got 26 appearances and 15 goals.
Hmm.
He's got 19 appearances so far this season and 10 goals. So he's done in half a season almost what he did in, or sorry, two-thirds of what he did in a full season at Real Madrid in fewer games. Which, all right, is impressive, but he's just hit a wall recently, and it's not good enough, unfortunately. Mm. And his Spanish record's good as well.
Real Madrid as well, he probably wasn't playing every match from the start. And you imagine they have
Benzema
and Ronaldo and Bale.
Yeah.
And a few other top players up there.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
He probably was coming off the bench a lot. But I seen his record in Juve as well before that. It wasn't incredible.
No, it wasn't. He scored 16 goals in 2 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's not great for a striker.
Mm. Not great, not good enough anyway. But when you watch the way the guy plays, again, his hold-up play is fantastic. He does.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It wasn't great last night. He creates a lot of chances for Hazard, and he creates a lot of room for the wingers to find space around him.
Yeah.
And then if he can find space in the middle, it's not a big problem. And I feel like every sentence I say, I have to finish it off with, but he's not doing that. Mm. And the reason for it is because it's the fact. The guy, he's reading the stuff that's said about him online, and it's hitting him. He's hurting him really badly. He's a really emotional player.
But here's a different situation than what would happen then if you had signed Lukaku and United had got Morata, like everyone thought.
I didn't think Lukaku was ever going to Chelsea in the first place.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was ever going to happen. He played for us twice now. I don't think it was ever going to happen.
Mm. I was surprised though that he went to United though.
Were you?
Yeah, I honestly thought we were getting Morata.
Well, frankly, I don't really follow the transfer rumors too much. They kind of annoy me quite a lot. Most of them are unbelievably false. I mean, I saw DiMarzio reporting yesterday that Real Madrid were going to sign Mohamed Salah this month because Barcelona signed Coutinho as a kind of response.
Hmm.
It's like, well, what happens next? Do Atletico Madrid sign Mane, and then do Sevilla sign Firmino?
Just take apart Liverpool, basically.
Transfer rumours, for the most part, are completely bogus.
Especially this time of year as well. In January, is actually worse.
Nothing ever happens in January.
Well, Coutinho was a big one, as we said earlier on the
show. That's true. But, for the first time, yeah.
That again was one that was meant to be done last summer. That was kind of a continuation of last summer.
Yeah, rarely do cup-tied players move.
And I mean, the Alexis Sanchez one as well is another one that is being done now so Arsenal can make a little bit of money.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's about right. Now, I would have said before the Arsenal match that Chelsea were the team that were most likely to finish in second. The reason I felt that is because, United have more depth, but I felt like Chelsea just had the finished product a bit better than United had, and I felt like seeing United's recent form, I wasn't totally impressed. But the past two games, Chelsea don't look that potent in front of goal. The tactic last night was hack it to Hazard again and hope he does something with it.
Mm.
That's not good enough, frankly.
Mm.
To
be fair, though, I would be saying the opposite, that I think United have finished in second this season, personally. Mm. I don't know why. I just have a feeling about it, really, that Pogba back in the team and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
Going to improve our chances massively, and who knows who will sign this January.
I think that's January over, frankly.
I don't think
so. Signed that dude from PSG, didn't he?
It's almost done again. It's not quite over the line yet.
Right, okay.
That's what I'm saying though. Like, we'll do something in January. I'm including that as a potential buy, if you know what I mean. Okay. Jesse Lingard in his form anyway.
Yeah.
Is there any need to buy someone at the minute?
Not really, no.
But
I don't think there's a need for United to buy anybody.
No, not really. And Chelsea, obviously, then. Chelsea, they're not even.
I think Chelsea need to sign. Chelsea need to get rid of Michy Batshuayi, and they need to replace him, really.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think that Ross Barkley coming into the team as well will
help.
I think
he's a good backup player, though. He's not really a first teamer.
I've been thinking about that, though. I think that whenever you've got Bakayoko and Drinkwater, and they are good centre midfielders.
Hmm.
But they're quite similar. Drinkwater bored me so much last night. Every pass he made was backwards or sideways. There wasn't much creativity coming from him.
His name's Drinkwater for a reason.
His name's Drinkwater. He's not very much fun, yeah. But after that goal, he scored against Stoke. You thought maybe something might have happened out of it. But, oh well, what a pity. But hey, there's still more games to go there. That's true. Ross Barkley is a far more creative player.
He is.
And I think if you put someone like that in the centre midfield, and they've given him number 8 shirt.
Yeah.
So they're thinking of him as a kind of spiritual successor to Lampard. They actually in 2013, Chelsea had highlighted Ross Barkley as the number one replacement that they wanted for Lampard.
Doesn't surprise me. I remember the hype revolving around Ross Barkley when he came on the scene. It was it was kind of Wayne Rooney level hype, if I'm honest. Yeah. I think he'll
still come good. And I think his move could be good for him.
He's not that old, is he? He's still very young.
No. He's only 24 or something like that.
Yeah, it's plenty of time to kind of develop into a top player.
And for all the price it was 15 million.
It's worth a go.
Yeah.
What are Everton doing selling? Contract, is it?
I think he just wanted to leave.
Hmm.
Based on what I've been hearing from Everton fans in like message boards and all that, online, they didn't particularly like the way that for 6 months he sat in a hospital bed and collected a wage and then took off at the end of the year.
But that's part of football. You have to.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, but for a fan, you don't want to see that. Now back to Morata. I thought at the start of the season he was going to be a great signing. Especially the kind of player that he was. He's more creative than Costa is. However, not quite as fast, I've noticed. Mm. You noticed that as well? Costa was fast than people.
He was, He kind of bulldozed people, didn't he?
Yeah.
Morata's a bit more finesse, I would say, than Costa.
You don't think of Costa as a quick player. He was he was something like the second quickest player at full speed in 2015.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so you don't think of him like that. Because he didn't have to do it that often. You had Hazard there and Willian for a reason.
I do think Costa definitely made you more like title winners than top four contenders than you are now.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
You were actually definitely leaning toward... Well, you were champions last season, obviously. Uh-huh. And twice in the last three seasons. So Costa was obviously a very important part of that.
And Costa didn't switch on every game, either. No. He really didn't.
Still scoring the big moments, though, didn't he? Like, he always turned up.
I don't know why I'm knocking on Stoke lately, but... I remember that goal he scored against Stoke. It would have been January 2017.
Yeah.
It would have been December 2016. Was an absolute cracker. You should look at it. Not great goal he scored. Mm. Just bullied the defenders. Typical Costa goal in a way.
Yeah.
Wonderful forward. He was the end result of a new Drogba that you would have wanted.
Yeah.
With Morata, we're starting over again.
Play for Spain instead of Brazil because he actually didn't think he was going to make it into the Brazil team.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Consider how good Spain became anyway. Spain have actually been better than Brazil for the last 10 or so years anyway, on average, I would say.
Did you see his first game back in Atletico's home ground?
I didn't, actually.
He's the first player in La Liga history to score a goal and get sent off in the same match.
Was that his first match again?
Yeah, his very first match.
What's he like?
I think in the first half, he pushed over a defender, got a booking. All right, fair enough. Then he got in two fights at half time. He had to get led down the tunnel by the Atletico goalkeeper, whose name I can't remember. And then the second half, he goes, scores a blinder of a goal. And he runs into the crowd, celebrates, fucking Costa, back up. And he walks back, and there's the referee sitting with a yellow card and a red card, and he's away because he went and celebrated with the fans. That was apparently some kind of
classic Costa thing. Well, you're not going to miss that kind of antics at Chelsea, are you?
I actually do a little bit. I like the passion behind it. That's something that you
he means
buy.
Well, obviously.
He means well, yeah. Thanks for the season, bye-bye. That's it.
So you don't think he'll ever come back to Chelsea again? Anything else done?
No, that's his return he's done now. He's back to where he's...
He can't even speak English anyway. He just didn't bother learning.
No, he never learned speaking English. No, anytime he did a post-match interview, you had to have Cesar Azpilicueta or Fabregas there to translate. How can you live in London? Oh, no, hang on, this is London.
Yeah, in London, you can't live there. London's quite multicultural.
Not speak, yeah. you can't live in London and not speak English. It's perfectly acceptable. but I mean, could
especially,
you do that?
Especially as a pampered footballer.
Could you do that? Could you go and live in Madrid and not speak Spanish?
You'd find it very hard, wouldn't you?
You'd find it so hard. Like, it's different whenever you're a multimillionaire, but I'd like to walk. I'd like to be able to go and walk to your shop and go, I'd like some bananas or fairy liquid, and be able to ask the question.
What's fairy liquid in Spanish?
Liquid de fairy. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that one, unfortunately, so we won't be actually confirming the answer in the show.
That's a cliffhanger for next episode. And I think that's where we should end right there. The cliffhanger, what is fairy liquid in Spanish?
Dun, dun,
we'll have to come back to that one next week. This has been the best football podcast in Northern Ireland, perhaps even the best in the world if we said so ourselves. I'm still Lee.
I'm still Alan.
This has been the... What do we call it now again? We changed the name. We changed the name and I forget what it's called all the time.
It's the Greasy Spoon Debate.
This has been the Greasy Spoon Debate. And that's over now. Bye. Are you still here?
Goodbye.